I'm Red Scott.
And I'm Ivan Hernandez.
This is Bunker Politics.
A catalog of fear in the modern political age.
The only podcast that's done from the bunker that will survive the next 4 years of American life.
If we survive. How, I don't think that we're all gonna.
How is the bunker feeling to you this week? I've got slippers. I've got a nice, dense, fiberglass-filled pillow to scream into.
Oh, we're all going to have to be doing a lot of screaming into a lot of pillows. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the Russian cat is out of the bag.
So many Russian cats.
And let me tell you, those Russian cats are fucking fierce.
There's a couple things I want to get out of the way before we get into that. First of all, we mentioned Pizzagate last week. And the podcast Reply All did a whole episode on the phenomenon that was very well done. Mm-hmm. And sort of gives you the whole overview of how we got from conspiracy theorists yelling at each other to a 27-year-old man showing up with a gun at a pizza place.
Yeah. Oh, and let me tell you, there's a lot of stuff happening there. Alex Jones is starting to delete stuff from his website, and I'm pretty sure it's because the pizza place is going to launch a civil lawsuit against him and all of the people who started it, which... fucking good.
Yeah, because saying that a place is a sex trafficking place when it's not doesn't qualify as free speech.
Satanic sex trafficking place.
A child sex trafficking satanic.
Satanic child sex trafficking.
If you think front. If you think satanic makes child sex trafficking worse than it already is, you're kind of demented. I don't want to deal with.
And let me tell you, my favorite part of it is that they were using pizza-related code words at their front, which was a pizza restaurant.
Yes.
I think that's my favorite part.
I also want to mention, so last week we rejected the feedback from one of our wonderful Patreon listeners. We rejected from one of our listeners who said that our name, Bunker Politics, was not hopeful enough.
Oh, that listener!
Yeah.
Oh, no, I like that listener. No, yeah. That listener's great. I thought we were talking about the other listener.
No, all our listeners are great. And she said, whoa, you guys, I follow the news from up here. This is Marissa Strad. I knew some of what was going on, but I did not realize you were already living inside the Darkless timeline. Well, I still don't love the whole bunker thing. I understand the sentiment, and I submit hoping for the third best worst case scenario, which I love.
I do like third best worst case scenario.
Yeah, I think that might be the show's official byline at this point.
That's a good tagline for the show.
Yeah, I'm gonna add that as the official subtitle.
I'm gonna go with
on
it.
iTunes.
The third an exploration of the third case worst best scenario.
Yes.
Of the third best worst case scenario? Yeah.
Yeah, third best worst case scenario. Yeah. And
so that listener's great. I retract all of my way too off the mark, way too quick insults.
Fine. I was actually responding to all the Patreon comments. I respond to each and every one. Eventually, I got a little behind this week. And they're all very nice. They're all very nice.
Yeah, they all seem to be enjoying it, except that one guy.
Why are you so focusing on one guy? One guy cannot like our podcast.
Because there's nothing I love more than singling. Oh, my God.
What?
This is why Trump keeps doing it. It's incredibly satisfying to single out one person for abuse.
Basically, you're Chuck Jones. You're Trump singling out Chuck Jones.
Oh, no, I shit on the floor of my college dorm.
Yes, that's exactly what was happening. So are you ready to get into the Trump date?
Oh, let me tell you, motherfucker, so much has goddamn happened.
I thought, honestly, so first off, I have to say, and this is possibly a negative thing, that like my hour-to-hour existential dread has decreased, and it's maybe it's sort of a, you know how like when people are depressed and they start taking anti-depression medicine and that gives
yes.
them enough hope to kill themselves, like I feel like that's the stage where I am. I feel like I've come like up from the bottom of the divot of depression, and now I've got just enough to do self-harm. That's how I'm feeling about our country.
you are confident enough in the future for you to not have to see it.
Yes. But the first and most important thing is the Russian hacking,
which
Holy
if
Christmas.
We were all fucking paying attention to Hillary Clinton like we should have been, we already fucking knew about.
Oh, well, so here's the thing. I think a lot of people, when I saw that it was like Russians hacked, my first thing was I legitimately did think that they had fucked with all the voting machines, which is...
I still don't say... I believe the Wisconsin recount has ended, and it actually pumped up Trump's margin more, but let me tell you, Michigan is a shit show. I believe they are having to audit because too many precincts come back as uncountable.
Yeah, Michigan is a shit show. I'm addressing is that the Russian hacking new information that we have is not that any additional attacks have been made that we didn't know of. It's that the origin of the existing attacks that we know of thus far are of Russian origin, Russian government origin.
Oh no, motherfucker. We didn't know about this. Apparently they got the RNC's emails too and have not chosen to release them.
So I was reading about that, and it seems very likely, but it's not conclusive at this point, is what I was reading from them. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, part of it is because you're dealing with the CIA, which has been one of the worst people ever. Like, they're not great.
They are not a great organization.
That's what I'm saying.
You are a foreign government who is not completely allied with America's view of what a foreign government should be.
Or if you're a domestic citizen that the CIA doesn't like. They're not a great organization.
They're not a great bunch of guys. But listen, if it comes between fucking me having to choose between allying myself with the CIA or Comey's FBI, I'm like, all right, guys, fucking Central Intelligence, one of our great films. I love The Rock and Kevin Hart. Let's do this, guys.
And listen, this event, there's literally going to be like a 3-season documentary television show made about this. We can't get into all of it. There is in the show notes, I will have linked a huge New York Times article on it that explains exactly what happened step by step. And I have to share, as somebody who has a deep enough knowledge of InfoSec, did you read how they got into the DNC?
I know how they got into the Podesta ones.
Yeah, yeah.
The Podesta one is, I was just thinking about this. That is the reason why more IT people need to take English classes.
Hey, back up. Let's explain what's happening before we go to 11. This is Charles Delavan, a Clinton campaign aide, found a phishing email. He was like, this is a phishing email. He then forwarded the actual phishing email. So he like sent it to somebody. So he sent it to one of Podesta's aides. And in the email, he wrote, this is a legitimate email. Podesta needs to change his password immediately. What he actually meant, this is an illegitimate email. But because he had actually forwarded the whole email, he was free to click on that link, which then, oh my God, it's amazing. It's amazing.
All you have to do, you have to use words that cannot result in typos. When you're at that level of critical infosec, you can't use legitimate and illegitimate. You need to use good or bad.
Yeah. This is a bad email.
This email, bad. They really need to just have an infosec Frankenstein who's like, email bad, email good, email bad.
So just some highlights. If you've listened, you might have missed all this. They had access to the DNC's internal network for 7 months. There's two aspects of this on the election. So the slow drip of distrust that, you know, they were able to foment through releasing documents on WikiLeaks. And more acutely, and that, by the way, the reason I bring that up is because that is very hard to measure as far as like how that affected the election outcome, because there's no before and after where you can measure the cumulative impact. More acutely, and something that can be measured, is the polls before and after the Comey letter, which was released within 10 days of the election, that a lot of people believe swung the election. They believe that if the election had been held the day before that letter came out, Hillary probably would have won. There's such tiny margins in all of these states in the Midwest that actually seems to have affected the election. And so, the most generous reading of this is, I mean, we are learning about these hacks, which were malicious, which were by foreign governments that absolutely should be followed up with, and we should not be fucking with Russia. did reveal actual things that the DNC did that were shitty. I mean, that is a true thing. That's the most generous reading.
They definitely hamstrung Bernie's attempt to insinuate himself into the Democratic Party, which he was never really a part of before this. And I have some sympathy there, because if a guy fucking comes into your house and is like, I lead the house now, and you're like, but you've never lived here before. It's like, all right, you're going to resent him a bit. But at the same time, it's like, fucking, let's all just play ball nicely if we're fucking all liberals here, guys.
Yeah. And so it is, I don't know, it's just insane. It's just insane.
I think that my favorite detail is that apparently Putin was looking over the shoulder and laughing of the guy who wrote the phishing email.
Oh, wow. That's a good detail.
That is an amazing detail, because it just goes to show that international politics has become the domain of men's vain and petty vengeances. It is truly insane.
As a child, though, like, I grew up mostly post-Cold War. You know, that where it was like the actual threat of the Russians was a thing of the past that people sort of mocked. You know, yeah. Like, I remember multiple pieces of media where people were like, are you worried about the Russians? And like, that was a thing you would laugh at. And now it's just like, we are worried about the Russians? Like, that just feels so strange to me.
Gorbachev came out recently and gave an interview where he thought that one of the things that really hurt international relations was American triumphalism in the face of the destruction of the Soviet Union.
Well, good news for you guys. We've got a guy who knows how to do a victory lap now. He's still holding rallies. What is he running for?
It is insane. Hasn't had a press conference since the press conference where he asked Russia to hack Hillary's emails, which is still insane.
Yes.
It's still, all of this is so insane. See, I can't believe all of this is happening.
I you know, I can hear the kind of buoyant fatalism that I'm experiencing.
Yeah. Oh, and we haven't even gotten to fucking Tillerson.
No.
Because Tillerson is the linchpin of this entire fucking giant conspiracy theory. I'm not even going to say conspiracy theory, because it's straight up a conspiracy. I don't think that there's any theory involved. So, Rex Tillerson nominated for Secretary of State, lifelong ExxonMobil employee. I believe, I don't know exactly how far up the ranks, but wait. Fucking far up the ranks.
So he is the CEO of Exxon. I think it's Exxon fucking Mobil. I think that's how it's pronounced.
Yes.
And yes, and I like the idea that he's a lifelong, like, is it like the Dalai Lama? Is that how they find new oil magnates?
I believe that he has never worked for a corporation besides ExxonMobil.
Man, so I do feel like we really wasted War for Oil now.
This is literally diplomatic relations for oil.
Yeah, I feel a little guilty about that. At the time, it felt right. But now I'm like, we should have saved that one for a few years from now when we have... When we have the Secretary of State be the literal CEO of Exxon fucking Mobil.
Basically the deal is, if they lift the sanctions against Russia that are currently in place, Exxon Mobil can proceed with a $500 billion deal to get Russian oil. So, that's why this is happening. Fucking oil.
Man, it's just like, maybe we should... Come on, Elon Musk. Give everybody Teslas and bankrupt Rex Tillerson.
That's what I'm saying, man. We don't need the fucking oil. But this is just another example of how there are these gigantic industries that have existed for centuries at this point that are not equipped to proceed into new realms of production that could better benefit mankind, and thus need to keep making money so that their executives can keep having money, so that they can keep, I don't know, hunting men for sport on an island or something. I don't know what these fucking rich people do with all their money, but it is essentially America being strangled by all of the industries which first grew it.
Yeah, this is, I mean, if only there was a term, it's kleptocracy. Kleptocracy!
It's kleptocracy. It's full 100% full-blown kleptocracy. And here's what I love.
Oh, they're taking the towels.
This is such a short con, because it's a short con.
Yeah.
Because if it had been a long con, he would have appointed fucking outside weirdo figures and like non-corporate people to give the illusion to his base that he was actually going to drain the swamp. But this is such a short con, because he knows that this presidency thing can't last. He knows that it can't last, which is why you see all of the bluster, which is why you saw that fucking press release that started, these were the same people that said Saddam had WMDs. This is all an incredibly short con that cannot proceed at its current pace past 2 years.
I don't know. See, that's the thing, is I feel like it's been a continual, like, this is where I take responsibility, my failings as an informed citizen. I've been constantly, and on new levels, like, first I underestimate him as a candidate in the primaries at all. And then I'm like, you know what? I underestimated him. He's now a political candidate. But then I was like, but there's a cap. We're not going to get a majority of people. And we didn't, to be fair. But at a new level, I'm like, he can't get elected president. And now he's president. I feel like I can't keep doing that anymore. I have to believe
in him.
Nobody
can make any accurate predictions.
Also, but I have to believe in him as a tyrant. I have to believe he's going to be able to fulfill all of his terrible dreams, and that and not that something's going to stop him at some point. I just have to leave that ceiling off, because he will find new ways to disappoint me.
Nobody can accurately predict anything that's going to happen at this point. There are the choke points built into the process, which I don't have a lot of hope for the Electoral College, but who can say at this point? I don't have a lot of hope for the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution being the thing that fucking nails him.
Yeah.
Even though, if anything's going to nail him, it's that, because he has not fucking stopped.
No.
He's still taking all of that money from foreign governments. He has not divested himself of his businesses. And in fact, delayed the press conference in which he was going to say how he was going to separate himself from his businesses until January.
Right. Which seems like a strange thing to be doing.
This is a real bad beat, fellas. Real bad beat.
So
we haven't even gotten to Rick Perry for Department of Energy.
So I don't know
how official anything is at this point.
Okay.
But Rick Perry for Department of Energy, which if you're not up on your Rick Perry lore and trivia, the thing that really undid Rick Perry was when he couldn't name the departments that he wanted to get rid of.
Right.
During a debate.
Yeah. He
and one of those departments he wanted to get rid of that he couldn't name was the Department of Energy.
Michigan, a mansion to stay in the Senate despite cabinet speculation. So it has been reported he has not named him officially, I'm trying to maintain. Also, there's just so much news on him every week. I'm trying to keep it to official news. It's not like us adding these like rumors. But to your credit, I will say that the rumors thus far have been very accurate.
Yes,
there's you know, like with the Secretary of State. The only reason that people didn't believe that, it was like there was news reported it could be Rex Tillerson, and a lot of people is like, well, that's weird. That'd be a really bad pick. I can't believe he would do that. I believe it every time.
You cannot trust in this man's judgment.
Yeah. Yeah. So believe the rumors when it comes to the appointments this week. So a couple other things that I want to get to. So he made fun of Chuck Jones, who we mentioned, who is not the famous animator. If you are familiar with old school, I believe is it Warner Brothers? I think it's Warner
Chuck
Brothers.
Jones, yeah. I thought that you were previously talking about Charles Johnson. There are so many bad CJs.
No, Chuck Jones, 1912 to 2002, was best known for, Warner Brothers and Looney Tunes and Merry Melodies. He wrote, produced, and directed Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Roadrunner, Wile E. Coyote, Pepe Le Pew, and Porky Pig.
Pepe Le Pew, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't support that man in any of his ventures.
No. I mean, honestly, it should be the official mascot of the Trump administration.
That skunk loved to fucking grab.
So, okay, so just to give context for the Chuck Jones thing, again, so he is the president of United Steelworkers 1999. He worked at the Carrier.
Oh, that Chuck Jones!
And he told he told the Washington Post that when Trump came by, he's like, oh, I voted for him. But then for whatever reason, when he came by, he lied his ass off. that's the direct Washington Post quote, because Trump said he was going to save 1,100 jobs. It is actually, like, there's different ways to read this. I will say best estimates say the actual number of jobs saved seems to be between 700 and 800. Carrier officially says that 800 that had been marked for going to Mexico are now staying. And Donald Trump's response to this, which should have been no response at all because it's beneath him, because he's the president and not working at these fucking unions in Indiana, said on Twitter, if United Steelworkers 1999 was any good, they would have kept those jobs in Indiana. Spend more time working, less time talking. Reduce dues.
There's so much to get into. Just the first of all, the fact that he is still going after and individually singling out people for abuse and death threats, which is what happens.
It's so crazy.
Is insane. It's insane. But also, yeah, that guy was completely right. He was like, yeah, he fucking lied. And then the president-elect of the United States proceeded to single him out on Twitter, and now he's getting death threats. This is not a good precedent, guys. Not good precedent at all.
Bad precedent for a bad president.
I think that's the episode title.
No, I already decided the episode title is Buoyant Fatalism.
That's also a good episode title.
I do like it. I want to talk about
Oh, and also, oh. if we can get into another one of his personally singling out people's.
All of it. Yeah, which one?
Vanity Fair released a review of the Trump Grill and called it possibly the worst restaurant in America. And then he proceeded to go directly after Vanity Fair.
Yeah, Guy Fieri was angry. He was like, my restaurants are the worst restaurants in America. Do you know how long it took?
He doesn't even have donkey sauce.
It's called donkey sauce.
Hey, I don't make up what Guy Fieri calls the sauces.
He tweeted, there is a legitimately, separate from Donald Trump, forget about him for a second. We can take a break from thinking about him for a moment. We'll come back to him
too
soon.
I'd like to forget about him forever.
But no, for about 30 seconds. No, so he tweeted this incredible story about the Washington Post, which I had already read. So this is the story. If you've seen the number $125 billion, the Pentagon, waste, blah, blah, blah. It's a long, great investigative story by the Washington Post. Here's what happened. The Pentagon had a new guy in charge, and he said, we're going to do an internal investigation. We're going to try and find instances of waste. And when we do, we will move that money to different departments to actually support, you know, troops on the ground and planes and, you know, all the other stuff that is actually needed. And so they commissioned an outside institution to come in and make this report. Mm-hmm. And what happened was they found $125 billion in waste. And the number was so large, they were afraid to go with it to Congress. So they buried the report.
I believe that they had a million desk employees to support 1.2 million troops.
Yeah.
Which that was the number?
I mean,
which...
I feel like there's a lot of insane numbers, and that kind of thing can get weird because it's like, how many people do you need doing intelligence? Like, you need a lot. Like, I'm not going to say I really understand those numbers. They're all huge, insane numbers. I feel like $125 billion really gets to it. That's like two planes. Anyway, no, but but the point, it's fascinating because this is something that was sort of done under the Obama administration, supposedly. But this is just Trump basically saying, like, look how much waste there is in Washington, and then trying to take credit for it when he goes into office, when he suggests that they fix it, which I'm sure they're already working on now because they've been publicly shamed, and I'm sure some people are going to get fired. And it just, he's very good at taking credit for things. Like, he is the opposite of women in the workplace. Like, he is...
There is no more a greater polar opposite of women in the workplace than Donald Trump.
Yeah, he's just like, look at that over there. I did that. He is just a nightmare human being.
Those babies, I popped them out of my uterus.
So that was just some... There was a story that I'd been following, and it was just bizarre to see him just grab all the credit for it. Shouldn't have been, but it was.
If we can go into some lighter Trump news...
Sure.
He met with Kanye West.
Oh, no! Switch. I didn't even write that down. That's how much stuff is happening.
So much stuff is fucking happening. And I know, Kanye, that's a trivial meeting meant to take away our fucking attention from the real news.
Yes.
But he's a star fucker. That's all Trump has ever been. All he wants is the respect of other celebrities. So he's using that to try to, he's using the presidency to try to leverage that into meeting with more celebrities. There's the meeting with the tech people. That has some amazing photos of fucking Larry Page and Jeff Bezos just giving death mask stares. The gif of Trump like trying to like grab Peter Thiel's hand and clap with it
is
kind of amazing, just as a demonstration of how awful those two people are. He is trying to basically mobilize celebrities and like big influential tech people around him to pump himself up by being able to say, look at all of these people I'm meeting with. He can't get anybody for his inauguration. So the story, which was reported by The Wrap, was that different talent bookers have been offered ambassadorships in order to secure A-list talent for the inauguration.
I considered throwing my hat in the ring just to get a sweet gig and out of the country.
Listen, I'll do a tight 15 at that inauguration if you let me be ambassador to Japan.
Guys!
That's all I want. That's all I want. I'll do a tight 15. I'll keep it clean. I won't even do any political material. All you have to do is let me be ambassador to Japan and never ask me to come back.
God, so early into this non-administration and you're already selling out.
Listen, there's going to be a lot of graft happening, and I might as well get on the ground floor of that graft.
It's the only part of the economy that's going to be expanding the next 4 years.
The graft industrial complex, this is its finest hour.
I do have to say, as somebody who's like always been not a big Kanye fan, it has been great to see the world come around to my way of thinking. Do you know how much
I love him so much?
I've saved so many hours a day just not feeling stressed about understanding why people like Kanye so much. He had a good album.
He made
I'm not saying he didn't.
He made at least five classic all-time albums.
I love his beats. He's a mediocre MC. I don't like him.
I'm going to say he is an average MC with occasional glimpses of greatness within him.
One of my favorite descriptions ever is terrible except for brief flashes of mediocrity.
Listen, have you ever written the line "Get my damn croissant" and inserted it into a hit rap song?
No, because I'm not writing hit rap songs, but you know I would have. Is there anything else I've been more consistent
oh,
on?
Oh, than get, oh, oh, suddenly than, you're taking credit for being able to rap as good as Kanye.
There was a goddamn whole year when I would just insert croissant into these podcasts, like every every week. There's nothing I love more than croissants and having them. So, of course, Get My Damn Croissant would have eventually made its way into one of my many hit rap songs, given the opportunity.
I can only imagine if you had been the one to get your jaw broken all that many years ago, maybe you'd be the next Macklemore.
Yeah. Jesus walks. Jesus walks.
I'm just going to say, he's in the middle of a giant nervous breakdown, so I'm going to let him...
No!
He's in the middle of a huge nervous breakdown.
I have to say, I posted a number of polls yesterday, and one of them... did not go the way that I expected. I posted, which song should I feel feel worse about liking? Number one was the song Indian Giver by the Squirrel Nut Zippers. Clearly racist. choice two was any Eminem song. Choice three was any Macklemore song. And man,
guess what I voted?
Well, yeah, and like a questionnaire that's asking which is worse: racism, misogyny, or corniness. I did not expect that result. I did not expect 70% of people to say Macklemore.
Sir, I have been in the rap community for decades now, and there is no force that is looked down upon more than corniness.
God, people.
It transcends race. It transcends sexuality. Anybody can be mad corny.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you are. You can still be mad corny. And mad corniness is the most looked down upon quality that a rapper can have.
All right. So, Okay. Back to bad news. John Kennedy.
Ivanka moving into the first lady's office.
Oh, so I have. Can we talk about that last? I have that. I'm tying that into my journalist to follow. So that's one of the last things.
Go ahead.
But we have other stuff before that. John Kennedy won in Louisiana. So the Senate Republicans now have a. Sorry. Yeah, John Kennedy won in Louisiana, so the Senate Republicans now have a 2-seat majority, 52-48 come January 20th. We are very screwed.
Foster Campbell got fucking stomped.
Yeah. We already talked about the Secretary of State. Oh, and then one thing that you probably didn't care about, but I have a lot of emotional attachment to, so I'm bringing it up. Donald Trump went to the Army-Navy game. Which makes a lot of sense from an optics standpoint. I don't know if people know the history of the game at this point, but before the Super Bowl took over, it was one of the biggest games in the country. They played it since 1890. It's been televised since 1945, over 20 years before the first Super Bowl. Eisenhower played in the game. Theodore Roosevelt was the first president to attend in 1901. There's a cool tradition where at halftime, the president crosses the field to the other side because he's the commander-in-chief of both teams, and the people in the stands are all dressed in their uniforms, and they're all like, you know, 19 to 20, so they're losing their fucking minds. And it's another in a long line of traditions that bum me out seeing Trump participate in.
But I thought that Obama was the one who crossed the field because he's still the fucking president.
I don't think he went to this game.
He went because I saw the picture where he was in the stands just like surrounded by people and Trump was behind bulletproof glass.
I think they were they were showing him in a different year.
Huh.
There's one president who went to all of them. Pretty much every other president only goes like once.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, no, they showed that picture because also if you look up the picture of Obama attending the Army-Navy game, he is dapper as fuck.
That I'm gonna miss that dapper motherfucker. I still haven't read that Ta-Nehisi Coates article that my president was black because I know I'm just gonna end up crying by the end of it.
And one of the worst things about the worst thing that has happened in America in this past week is that he shows up at the Army Navy game, which has been bad forever because Army is much better than Navy or vice versa.
Navy is much better than Army. They always get stomped.
Yeah,
every time.
And here's the thing: for the first time in 14 years. It was an amazing football game. Army broke their losing streak, and he left before the end. He didn't even see that part. He insulted football at the same time, and I've never been insulted on so many different levels.
Listen, if it's not XFL, he doesn't give a fuck.
All right. So that.
By the way, I do believe that they're doing a 30 for 30 on the XFL, which I am going to be very into.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to – fuck yes. Fuck yes. Yeah. So, by the way, there's already a 30 for 30 on the USFL, which Trump was a major investor in, so he's featured heavily in it. I'm going to have to go back and rewatch it.
Dear God.
It's actually, the documentary, I'd forgotten this, it's named after a Trump quote. It's called, like, Small Potatoes. It was his explanation on why he abandoned the USFL.
Oh, God. I think that's going to be his explanation for why he abandons America.
Yes. I want to become the Universal Emperor. Okay, so...
He's going to try.
So I've gone through all of my notes on the Trump date. Do you have any more issues that you think need to be brought up?
We addressed the Pizzagate social media deletions, Rick Perry postponed business announcement, Russian hacking, Ivanka moving into the first lady's office.
Okay, so I will... So my journalist to follow this week is a weird one. Julia, it's last name Ioffe. I forget if it's Yoff. I don't know how to pronounce it. It is a Russian last name. I've only ever read her name. There's an interesting story this week because there was news that Ivanka Trump's daughter, was going to go to an office in the space normally reserved for first ladies, to which Julia Yoff, who was currently a reporter at Politico, joked on Twitter, either Trump is fucking his daughter or he's shirking nepotism laws, which is worse. And within hours, she was fired from Politico despite her apologies.
Here's the thing. She was not actually fired. She was already set to go work for The Atlantic.
Yeah.
So she just had to wait out the rest of her contract with Politico.
Yeah.
But Politico went ahead and terminated her contract anyway. So it was more of a, you can't fire me, I quit already scenario. But also, Politico are a bunch of fucking cowards. Because what has this guy fucking tweeted on a consistent basis, but the most awful, gross things about all people all the time? And you're going to fire her, not even fire her, fucking terminate her contract for that?
And also,
first of all, it's also this is why fucking conservatism is ideologically bankrupt. They were immediately a fucking billion stupid Pepes, like, she needs to be fired immediately, when fucking people getting fired immediately for tweets is one of the things that they purportedly are against.
Yeah.
It is conservatism co-opting the language and tactics of the left in order to get what they want.
And it's a nightmare. So we have a link to Julia Iaffe. Again, apologies that I do not know how to pronounce her last name. It's in the show notes, so you can click on there to go find her on Twitter. Who is your journalist of the week?
Oh, I didn't know that we were ending it already.
Oh, sorry. I thought I was asking you if I had anything else to cover.
Oh, we didn't even get into Syria? We didn't even get into fucking Ohio?
What?
We didn't even get into North Carolina?
Man.
Okay, so Ohio, two abortion bills. One was the heartbeat bill, which would essentially outlaw abortion as soon as there is a heartbeat, which was around 6 weeks, which most women don't know they're pregnant at 6 weeks. And there was the other bill, which was a 20-week ban. So here's what Kasich did. He vetoed the heartbeat bill and signed the 20-week ban bill, which I think is a tactic that we're going to see a lot coming up, which is the passings of two bills which each have awful consequences, but one is worse than the other, and the worse one gets vetoed, but the less worse one gets signed in, so that it looks like they're being moderate by not signing the fucking awful one and just signing the bad one. So that, I think, is something that we're going to see even more of coming up, and just goes to show that fucking Kasich is a piece of shit. I hope he fucking has to watch Fargo in hell.
Yeah, so one of the things about the abortion bill that, so for people who don't know, I believe the generally accepted at a national level, the term viable fetus, I forget how they term viable life, is 25 weeks, around which a lot of abortion laws are based. Like the term, the term for viability is extremely important politically, and so this moves it up 5 weeks compared to that, so a full you know, month and change. There's a really great, if you're interested in that, there's a really great Radio Lab where they go into that in depth, and it's called 25 weeks.
There was an article, I believe, on Jezebel about a woman who had to have, I think it was like a 30 to, it was like deep in there, and it was one of those situations where she was trying to have a kid, and then the fetus basically had one of those conditions where it would have died immediately upon birth in a very horrific way, and she had a previous, like, she had like brain surgery or some sort of thing where, like, if she had to give birth, it would have also killed her. So she ended up having to get one of those, like, ultra late abortions. There, you can only go to one doctor in one state. I believe you have to pay like something in the range of like $30,000 cash. It is insane, the fucking restrictions on an abortion that is so medically necessary. Like, it's insane. Yeah. All of the hoops she had to jump through to get something that would completely save her life. It's really a horrifying story. So not horrifying because abortions are bad. Abortions are great. Horrifying because of all of the shit that she had to deal with in order to get this fucking abortion. Look that up on Jezebel. I don't know what the link exactly is, but it's a pretty fucking rough one. Listen, women have it tough.
Yes.
I don't think that anybody can argue against that. No. Women have it tough, and essentially, women's bodies have been used to essentially hold them prisoners of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the fucking the pink tax for all of the feminine hygiene products, the fact that fucking you can't just, like you have to pay tax on tampons, and you fucking need those things. And by the way, ladies, check out that Diva Cup.
What?
Every woman I know. It's a menstrual cup.
I know what it is, but nobody on this podcast should be giving recommendations for feminine products.
Listen, I associate with a lot of women, and I have seen myself.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of lady friends.
Uh-huh.
And they are nothing but effusive about these Diva Cups.
I really don't think any of us get to have an opinion about feminine products.
I think that if I am recommending a Diva Cup, if even one woman starts using a Diva Cup because of my recommendation, I will feel fulfilled.
I can't wait till we get this fucking endorsement. Diva Cup. Finally, a feminine product endorsed by a man.
I have to disclose this to you guys. I am the new male spokesperson for Diva Cups.
This is the new face of male feminism.
Ladies, stick this cup in your pussy.
Nobody's more of an expert about things that go up inside you than Ivan Hernandez.
Listen, I've been deep. I know what's around there.
This is the worst thing we've ever done.
It truly is. But if even one woman sticks a Diva Cup up in there because of me, I will feel fulfilled. So, on to something that is incredibly depressing. Guys, what's happening in Syria is one of the worst fucking things I have ever seen humanity be a party to.
So bad. How do you even approach this?
Okay, I'll get into it with my fucking charity that I picked. But essentially what is happening is Assad's forces are capturing Aleppo, which has been under constant bombardment for months now. Executions in the street, people killing themselves so that they don't get captured by Assad's forces. People tweeting out, I might not ever see you people again. People fucking videoing from wreckage. It is a genuine, massive human rights crisis. And all of Western civilization is a party to it. Ladies and gentlemen, humanity is a fucking dumpster.
It's not good.
Yeah, it's not good at all. So essentially, a lot of people, and here's the thing. A lot of people are getting at Obama for not saying or doing anything. It's so bad. It's like, what do you say or do? Like, besides getting us into a direct conflict with Syria and Russia.
Yeah, no, that's the real question, is how, I don't know. I don't know. It's so weird, too, because I have so many friends who are on the left, and it's like, they almost sound like, I'm like, you realize you're making the same argument that would have been for going into Vietnam. Like, there's a lot of people who are getting weirdly interventionist about going into Syria, and it's like, I want to help, but I also don't want to send, like, you're going to have to end up with boots on the ground if you, like, send people over there to stop these terrible things from happening.
Exactly. There is no situation in which American intervention doesn't
result in more
exacerbate the situation. Like, the
I mean, I don't know. I'm not the politics of this situation are so complex. And I have a hard time having a just direct, like, this is what I want people to do aside from just stop killing people. Like, that's
the thing.
That's
all
I want
people is to stop fucking executing people in the street. But it's like, if you want them to stop executing people in the street, you fucking kind of have to make them stop.
Yeah. And they're just like, they're not like PayPal is $10. Like, it seems like, I don't know. I have a hard time with it. I really have a hard time reading about this news and feeling so impotent about it.
It's what can we do besides try to shore up our own situation here and hope that once this situation has somehow worked itself out, maybe?
No,
then
I don't
we
know.
Could fucking help on the international stage. But I don't. There's. I don't know. I'm not a fucking foreign policy expert. And let me tell you, these fucking guys who are going to be in there are not fucking experts by any means.
This has been our weekly segment. Ivan and Red have no answers.
That's the thing. We don't have answers. There are going to be a lot of people who are like, "Oh, I know exactly what we should do in Syria," and it's like, "No, you fucking don't, you idiot."
Oh. I don't know. Anything else on your note list?
Oh,
North Carolina.
I didn't know there was news in there. This shit is crazy.
What's happening there?
No, okay. So, if you haven't been paying attention to what's been happening in North Carolina, there was a very heated governor's race between Pat McCrory, who has been an ardent defender of the bathroom bill, which basically says trans people can't use bathrooms that correspond to what their gender they are is. So, after that tide of really just fucking bad publicity at every turn, and him just wasting taxpayer money and fucking just being a real asshole about it, he lost to Roy Cooper, the Democratic challenger, by 10,000 votes. And before they reached the 10,000 vote threshold, McCrory was trying to basically do everything possible to steal the election from him. Once McCrory had conceded, Cooper reached the 10,000 vote threshold at which a recount could not be forced.
Gotcha.
So McCrory eventually conceded. What the Republican-controlled state legislator has done is basically try to hamstring any power that the governor's office could hold. I believe that part of it is that they have to get legislative approval over most appointments. The really insidious one is that Republicans get control of the election board in, is it every even-numbered year? So that during any major election, they would have control of the election board. They essentially tried to, in a special session, ram through a bunch of fucking laws to hamstring Democrats' ability to win races.
Man. They're explicitly limiting the executive branch. And it sounds like it's gone to his desk now. So he has not signed it yet, right?
No, I do not believe he has signed it. There is a lot of outcry against it. And it is basically what the Republicans love to do, which is fucking burn the fields before the enemy can take them.
I mean, to fair. You know what? I was going to say that's kind of our move, but Lincoln was a Republican.
Republicans! Republicans!
In the General Sherman way.
Yeah. So that is what is currently happening in North Carolina. And it is a preview of what is going to be happening in a lot of states where direct fights for control of certain specific election posts are going to be incredibly critical going forward. Because, let me tell you, if they hadn't gerrymandered the shit out of every fucking Republican-held state in this country, a lot of shit would be different.
I mean, and a lot of that is it's the failures of the Democrats on a congressional and state level over the past 10 years have been a nightmare.
I still hold that when we had Obama and the Democratic Senate and House, and they didn't really do anything major with it, I think that that was the great failure of the Democratic national leadership.
Yeah. Well, thanks for letting me know about that piece of news. Jesus.
Yeah. Oh no, it's very important because more and more
They're stripping power of one of the branches of the state government.
Exactly.
It's somebody they don't like. I mean, I'm not going to lie, like part of me is like Republican Senate. listen, guys. I'm just saying it's an awful idea that you should not do, and I would object to it strongly. But if it happened, it might be better for our country.
this is just a preview of what's going to become all the more important if/when Trump becomes president, which is states' rights.
Yes.
I never thought, as a liberal, I would be espousing states' rights versus an oppressive federal government. But ladies and gentlemen, we're in the upside down.
We are in the upside down.
It's become Republicans who are pro-Russia and pro-federal government versus Democrats who are anti-Russia and pro-states' rights. Ladies and gentlemen, shit's gone pear-shaped.
Yeah, the left's espousing interventionalism.
It's insane.
I don't know what's happening.
And I do feel like this is the sort of huge shift change that happens every, like, 50 or 60 years where it becomes like the parties kind of flip.
Yeah.
On certain issues. Everything's very weird.
I have no idea what the political parties are going to even look like 8 years from now.
Yeah. That's assuming we still have political parties. A lot of what we're saying assumes that the world doesn't perish in nuclear flame, which, by the way, NASA says we're overdue.
Yeah, I mean, you know, nuclear flame comes around once in a while. We just need to...
extinction level event, man. We're overdue.
All right, so give me your reporter of the week.
So my reporter is Anna Masoglia, mm-hmm. who works for Open Secrets DC. She posts a lot of very interesting stuff regarding dark money, regarding campaign contributions, a lot of economic stuff. She tweets out a lot of like great charts, which really like do good work as far as visualizing information. Guys, the FEC doesn't do shit. They have mostly been deadlocked in their decisions. There's some shit with, I believe, Virginia, where there is a lot of very strange dark money going into places where it legally shouldn't. So Anna Masoglia at Analecta. Analecta. Follow her for a lot of good financial information.
Yeah.
Socio-political financial information.
And I will link to that in the show notes as well, as we do every week for our journalists. And then finally, I decided we're sharing our charity of the week so as not to dissipate interests.
Motherfucker, International Rescue Commission, rescue.org. They're doing a lot of work in Syria right now. There are a lot of places you can contribute money to fucking Syria. Medicine Sans Frontières / Doctors Without Borders. I believe you can look it up, but fucking if you don't give money to fucking Syria, you really need to look at what you're giving money to, because those motherfuckers need it.
International Rescue Committee. Rescue.org. Again.
We'll Rescue Commission. Yeah.
Committee.
Commission?
Committee.
Commission.
I feel pretty strongly.
All right.
Are there two?
There might be.
Is there a committee and a commission? Are they related?
I hope the committee is on the commission.
I would hope so, too. Yeah, the IRC, International Rescue Committee. Donate now and rescue lives.
God damn it.
Rescue.org.
Rescue.org, then.
Children trapped in Syria, urgent Aleppo aid, refugees in the U.S. They also have a Game of Thrones link. I don't know why. I'm clicking on that right now. If the website wasn't loading so slowly, I'd let you know. See why the cast is joined to help the IRC refugees. Oh man, oh my god, I'm linking this. #RealmToTheRescue, Game of Thrones on rescue.org. How did you not find this?
Wow. Well, listen, I was a little distracted by all of the photos of Syrian orphans.
They are very distracting, but focus. We are our origins are in Game of Thrones media.
this is truly a crossover for the ages.
Don't let the nightmares of humanity happening around the world prevent opportunities for synergy. This has been at our last Bunker podcast that you will find in our Patreon feed. We should be launching this publicly within the next week, and we'll post a link for you guys to follow that.
Yeah.
You can follow us on Twitter at @BoysScoreSwords. We don't have another link for this. You can follow Ivan on Twitter at @Ivan_Hernandez.
And you can find Red on Twitter at @Red_Scott.
Bye.
See ya.